PACTSINC, and PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org, and that way you can get all the information that you need about PAX Inc. and be live in life. And make sure you click on the tab that says the code so you can learn more about the codes of conduct and be able to work better as one as black people in America. Also, while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about myself, Patrick, Jamie, and you can learn more about the Freedom Train podcast series, all of our shows, the Fix Sports podcast, Lessons from the Screen, as well as Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Eric Tober. Get the whole weekly lineup. And look out, look out, look out, because it's almost time for Black Women Tea Time. Black women talking about black women stuff is coming soon. We will let you know when that's coming out. We'll let you know the exact date, but it's going down. Hey, I always know you want to follow us. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Follow us on Twitter at Freedom Train Net. Follow us on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. Like our Freedom Train Facebook page. Subscribe to our Freedom Train YouTube channel. Or you can subscribe to the Freedom Train on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. Because we out here, and we getting it in how we get it in. Pat P, what is going down, man?
Not much, man. I was going to say something crazy, but then I decided I probably shouldn't say that on the air.
What you was going to say?
There you go.
Hey, man, it's all good, man. What's been going on with you, man?
You know what I'm saying? You know, doing what I do, dark work and stuff. You know, can't reveal too much. The eyes of the people is owned at me. But, you know, the curriculum is being taken to a whole nother level with PAX. So, definitely, y'all stay looking out for that.
PAX curriculum. Of course,
I can't stay in the dark all the time, so the books that have been under construction for a very long time are nearing completion. So I'm excited about that as well. So, yeah.
But hey, man. Yeah. Well, I'm going to just say this. Y'all make sure y'all get a copy of Pat book when they come out. But my book's already out. So get y'all the copies of On the Souls of Giants. Get your copy of On the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 1, North America, On the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 2, Central America, on my website, www.ontheshoulders1.com. There you go.
Word.
I just want to let y'all know, hey, man, support black business, man. I'm out here writing, man. Support a brother. Uh-oh.
What's up?
Is that Jamie on the line?
You know, you got to wait for him to press the button
For
it to let him in and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, because he ain't come in. He wasn't loud, so. What curse word are you going to start off with today, Jamie? I'm anxious. I bet the first curse word he says, fuck, Pat. Put $5.
Nah, I'm going with damn.
All right, $5.
Nah, $5. Nah. He's too unpredictable for money bets.
Hey, man, but why we, you know, Jamie gonna go ahead and join us, but man, we got some topics for today, you know, things that have happened in the past week and things like that. So we want to get into two in particular. For one, we want to talk about the situation that happened with Ginuwine and the transgender person. Then we want to also talk about this H&M ad. And we know that these subjects have already been talked about, but you ain't heard about it in the way that we talk about it, because, you know, we come from in our own little angle, in our own way. So we want to start off with the Ginuwine topic, and then we're going to get into the H&M ad. So if you are not familiar with what's happening, if you've been kind of like, if you're not really into the social media and stuff, you really don't know what happened. Ginuwine is on a show called Celebrity Big Brother UK. And he's the only black person on the show, in the house. And there's a housemate who's transgender, male to female, named India Willoughby. And the group of people, like all the housemates, were sitting around having a conversation about dating and different things like that. And the people were asking Ginuwine, would he date a transgender? Ginuwine was basically like, no, I like women, I only date women. So the transgender person was like, well, if I didn't tell you I was transgender and just told you I was a woman, would you date me? And Ginuwine was like, well, I would want you to tell me that you're transgender, because basically I like women who are born women. And the transgender person just really couldn't accept that Ginuwine would not date a transgender person. Now, Ginuwine, they're both situated and sitting on a couch. And Ginuwine is sitting to the right of the transgender person, but they're in close proximity, very, very, very close. And so the transgender person opens his opened their arms up, and Ginuwine leans in, kind of put their arms around Ginuwine, and then say, well, give me a kiss, try to lean in for a kiss, and Ginuwine snatched away, like, no, 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 you're not going to kiss me. And now, it seems like the transgender community, not all of the transgender community, but members of the transgender community are in uproar, calling Ginuwine transphobic and basically saying that he's a bad person and trying to, you know, drag his name through the mud because Ginuwine did not want to kiss a transgender person. And we talk about sexual assault and we talk about freedom of choice and equality and all these things on the show a lot. So we felt like we need to talk about this because we always talk about it from the angle of what women are going through. And also, this is happening in the midst of this Me Too thing in Hollywood and right on the heels of this Oprah Winfrey speech. And we got to talk about that Oprah speech as well. But on the heels of that Oprah speech that was had at the Golden Globe Awards and things. And it's like, same thing that happened kind of with Terry Crews. When Terry Crews first started talking about what happened with him, wasn't necessarily taken serious. And it is, this situation is full of, it's bull, man. It's full of shit. Because a man is labeled transphobic because he doesn't choose to kiss a trans person. That's bull. So if a trans person refuses to kiss me, are they heterophobic? No, y'all help me out on this. Pat Jamie, help me out on this, man.
I mean, for me, I don't even understand in the middle, like you said, in the middle of all of this that we have going on now with the sexual assault, sexual harassment stuff going back and forth, and you know, like with everything that's going on in terms of respecting people's spaces, that's what everybody's talking about. Respect my space, respect my right to not want to have to participate in activities and behaviors that, you know, I don't want to because you want me to. In the midst of all this, you have someone who doesn't want to be hugged or kissed being attacked for not allowing themselves to be hugged or kissed. Like, it doesn't matter why he doesn't want to be hugged or kissed. Like, that shouldn't matter. Like, no, and to put this in perspective of how crazy this is for me, and I know a lot of people are going to be maybe rubbed the wrong way about this, but when a man rapes a woman, nobody ever asks the woman why she didn't want to sleep with the man. Well, why didn't you want to have sex with him? Like, that's never a discussion. Rightfully so. It shouldn't be a discussion. So why is the reason why he didn't want to hug or kiss this to hug or be kissed by this person, even relevant to the fact that he was sexually assaulted on national TV. The evidence is there.
Yeah. I mean, it is not okay to think that you can do whatever you want within the realms of sexuality or anything else just because you're a person who identifies as transsexual. That is not okay. And for a group of people who are always preaching about how marginalized they are, and how attacked they are, and how much disrespected they are, and how these types of things happen to them on a regular basis, how could you then turn and say, well, Ginuwine has to be transphobic because he doesn't want to kiss India? India doesn't deserve to be kissed just because India wants to be kissed, just like anybody else. If this situation was the other way around, people would be dragging Ginuwine. Ginuwine would be labeled as a very horrible person if the situation was turned around. And it's like, so a white transgender male to female is tried to sexually assault a black male, and the black male is the issue? How?
I got no answers for you, man. I really don't. That's been something I've been trying to piece together since, I heard about the incident. You know what I'm saying? Like, how is this? How are people taking this incident and turning it into what they're managing to turn it into? Like, it really doesn't make sense. In the midst of all this, we have somebody that's assaulted internationally, known, is seen. It can be seen all over the place. And all of a sudden, we're no longer talking about the assault. We're talking about, we're essentially blaming the victim.
And right. This is essential victim blaming, and people acting like they don't see it. The people who got sent see it, but the people who I don't understand how somebody can look at this situation and say, well, Ginuwine is clearly the problem because he has to let India kiss him. Ginuwine don't have to let nobody kiss him, just like you don't. If somebody walk up to me just out the blue, or anybody, whether they walk up to me or not, and they're trying to kiss me and I don't want it, I'm going to resist their attempts. And if you got a problem with it, something is wrong with you.
Right. I mean, I don't understand. Like, okay, so if Ginuwine just had left it, if she had left it alone that Ginuwine doesn't want to kiss me or Ginuwine wouldn't date me. And for starters, let's be clear. If somebody says that they wouldn't date you,
leave it alone.
Right. That should be right there. For you to move in after someone says that they're not physically attracted to you for whatever reason.
First of all, this India had a nerve to get mad because Ginuwine was saying, I'm not attracted to you. I'm not attracted to your orientation. How do you get mad at that? So because India took it there to that place where you have to have a problem with trans people if you wouldn't date me. No, Ginuwine don't have a problem with trans people. Ginuwine is attracted to women who were born women. There's nothing wrong with that. I am attracted to women who were born women. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just like if you were a person who was attracted to a transsexual person, there's nothing wrong with that. That's your business. I don't care. Just like you should not care who I'm attracted to at the end of the day. Show the same respect. It goes both ways. This is not a one-way street. We can't be serious about stopping. And Pat, you know me. This is one thing that pissed me off about this. Within this and the section, the mess of all these things here, because people are full of shit, man. People are fake. And people don't really want real change, real justice, real equality, real peace. People don't want that. Different groups of people are only interested in winning and domination. And I'm saying that because in a situation like this, everybody should have stood up and said, no, India, you're wrong. But instead, people are jumping down Ginuwine's throat, and that's showing you how people are not serious about ending none of this stuff that they're talking about.
Of course. Of course. Most definitely. Most definitely. I mean, we have this culture going on right now where everyone wants to talk about personal, like, my personal preferences and being able to express myself the way I want to. You know, everybody's talking about that topic, this issue. But it's only okay for you to self-express when you are self-expressing within the realm of the accepted quote-unquote marginalized group. And that pains me to say, because I realize how people could potentially spin that back on me as being a part of a marginalized group. But let's just be serious and be honest. If his preference is to date women who are genetically women, that is his preference. As long as he's not attacking you, belittling you, keeping you from opportunity, oppressing you, or in any sort of way, that's his preference. Just like it's your preference to change your sex,
right,
it's his preference to decide not to date you because you changed your sex. Just like we want to talk about it's somebody's preference to not want to date somebody because they look a certain way, they behave a certain way, they're in a certain economic class, a certain social class. If all those things are their preference, then so is the fact that I want to date a woman who was born a woman. That doesn't mean that I'm attacking or belittling transsexuals. That doesn't mean that I'm attacking or belittling gay and homosexuals. I mean, I understand that you're not necessarily born that way. I understand that you are born that way in some cases. I understand that that's not a particular choice you made. Okay, I get all that. But that doesn't obligate me to be attracted to
you
and want to have a relationship with you just because. Like, that's not what that means.
I mean, if we really want to be all the way honest, I don't have to. Now, as a person as Joseph Ward, I am going to respect everybody. But I don't have to agree with everything you agree with, and I don't have to have the same ideas and philosophies and ways of life that you do. And if you choose to operate in one manner and I choose to operate in another manner, that's my business and that's your business. And you can't tell me I'm wrong because I don't see the world the same way that you see the world, because it's really, like I said earlier, it's really not about equality. It's really not. Each group wants to be in a dominant position, but nobody wants to admit it.
Okay.
That's really where it's going.
Honestly, fellas, do y'all feel like we're just being too sensitive about this whole topic? Like, just people in general. Because when I heard this story about Ginuwine, I didn't think anything of it. I was like, okay, he doesn't want to kiss whoever
this
person is.
I'm calling out the hypocrisy.
No, I get it. You know what I'm saying? I completely understand the hypocrisy of it. But it's just like, man, is this what we're arguing about? A man choosing who he wants to kiss or not? But if you kiss her or him or whatever the case may be unwillingly, then we'll be all out, it'd be a big thing, sexual harassment and whatnot. I don't understand why this was a story. I didn't care to put a lot of thought into it because I just felt people were just being sensitive, because that is a high-profile topic right now, transgender rights, X, Y, and Z. They're in the forefront in the media aspect and what a lot of different things. I get it, but This was kind of dumb. This is a reach. This can't be where you plant your flag and say, okay, you're doing something wrong, Ginuwine and X, Y, and Z.
Right. Well, you're right. I mean, it is a reach. It's once going back, it's a group looking for power, looking for a foothold, and they're gonna use every whatever they can as a step up. It's like, this should not have been a story. It should not have turned up where it turned up. Ginuwine should not be looked at as somebody who is a bad person because he refused somebody's advances when the narrative is about being able to refuse people's advances and be okay with it. And if a person keeps being persistent with their advances, you have a system to reach out and speak out. This, what they're saying about Ginuwine goes totally against everything that's going on.
Right. And Because I ain't gonna lie, I haven't paid much attention to this topic. I thought about it for a brief second and moved on. But one thing I didn't like out of this conversation was people paralleling the struggle of black people to those of transgender rights and kind of just making that parallel between the two to make certain arguments. I thought that was a little bit unfair with this conversation as well. Because they didn't just say genuine. It was like, oh, black men. It just started turning black men and transphobic and stuff like that. They started lumping black men into a group. And
well,
I was
see,
just
that's
like,
the dangerous part about all this, though. Which, that's right. You're right. That's the dangerous part about this whole thing. That's why we got to continue to make sure we make sure that we, those of us with the platform, that we make sure that the narrative goes in a positive manner towards us, because it genuine represents all black men. And so, I mean,
no, absolutely. In this situation, they made him, whether he wanted to be or not, a representative of all black men in this situation. Black men have something to get. First of all, a phobia means I'm fearful of something. Am I man, wrong or right?
No, I'm finna read this. This is from dictionary.com. It's a persistent, irrational fear of a specific object, activity, or situation that leads to a compelling desire to avoid it.
And that's the thing. I don't think, me as a black man, I'm not fearful of anybody and what the lifestyle you choose, whether it's transgender, whether it's gay, whatever the case may be. I'm not fearful of you. Some people may agree with your lifestyle. I don't put that much thought into it because I'm not a part of that lifestyle. I'm not a part of that life, X, Y, and Z. But you also have to understand not everybody has to be on the same page as you are. Because black people have been fighting for other people to be on the same page as us as far as equality goes for centuries now. You know what I'm saying? So you can't just, okay, we're this, and you have to be with us, and if you disagree with us, we're going to come at you or this, that, and the other. I support all the rights of all people as human beings first and foremost. And anything after that, yeah, go do your thing. You have that right to. But to say people are transphobic and nobody's out here fearing transgender people. I'm not going to start breaking out in hives and sweats if a transgender male woman sits next to me. No.
Well, see, I've always said that transphobia and even homophobia, start with that. I never agreed with the way they use homophobia because knowing that I know what the definition of a phobia is, like a person who has a real phobia, if you ever seen somebody like somebody who has a true phobia of like a spider or a roach or a dog, and they will kill themselves trying to remove themselves from that situation.
Phobias right? are clinically diagnosed. Am I not am
right?
I wrong or right?
right, right. So I come into an environment where there are homosexual people, transgender people. I'm in that environment. I'm existing in that environment. I don't have a problem existing in that environment. I just don't agree, or I may not, you know, agree with a man having sex with another man. Who cares if somebody agree or not, but that person may agree with that, right? May or may not agree. And so if that idea is expressed, then that person is automatically labeled as somebody who has a phobia, and that to me is misplaced, and I always dislike that, because why do I have to harbor a phobia if I don't agree, or even if I don't even do the same thing that you do? Like seriously,
I think that's a part of the genius of the whole movement, though, if I'm being honest. Like that word homophobic, just attaching phobia or phobic to something like that allows you to create an entire narrative where one doesn't otherwise exist. And it allows you to tie in other components that you couldn't tie in otherwise. You know, you can even justify it to people that disagree with you by, you know, you put them on the defensive. Because now you can say, oh, well, you hate us because you're afraid of us. And maybe if you just got to know us, you wouldn't be afraid of us anymore, and you wouldn't hate us anymore. You know,
Pat, what you're saying, oh my goodness, I like literally, I thought about that for a second. What if, you know, just parallel, what if we say, you got a black phobia? Would that work?
It wouldn't now, because
we've been reverse racist.
I'm just saying, like, we come out like, yo, you got a black phobia. They just go marginalize, oh, you're playing a race card, this, that, and other, and dismiss us. That is, I just wanted to say that, but go ahead, Pat.
No, you're 100% right. I think if we had come out with that 40, 50 years ago, we would have been, you know, we would have been ahead of the curve and we would have been reaping the benefits of having that phobia. Because now, even when you think about it, even when you're trying to lash out against the word, now you're spending so much energy battling semantics and terminology that you don't even really get a chance to really speak about your views. And they get to stay aggressive and on the attack the entire conversation.
Absolutely.
So I think that whole attaching phobic to it, like, that shit is genius, man. I don't agree with it. I agree with you guys. It's not a phobia. But the mere fact that every time we talk about these issues, we have to address the terminology, homophobic, transphobic now, and, you know, I'm sure speciophobic and some other shit is going to come down the road. The fact that we have to spend time breaking down the terminology just takes away from the time we have to really dig into the argument. Like, Ginuwine was sexually assaulted on television by a transsexual, and before we can even get into the discussion good, we got to break down that we're not transphobic because we're not afraid of transsexuals. Like, just think about the genius of that.
And my, because, like, I don't know, you always have to give this disclaimer before you address about stuff, address things like this, because people will, you know, the emotional sense of it, you know, oh, you're against this. Because I don't know if you guys watched the Breakfast Club with D.L. Hughley. He had a pretty good commentary about it, but people attacked him. And my thing is, I don't hate anybody. You know, I'm not fearful of anybody. However you choose to live your life, that's the beauty of being alive. You can make those choices. I'm not going to judge you based off religious principle. I'm not one of those people. So, but if I say I don't want to kiss, you know, somebody because they're of a certain gender, well, I just don't want to kiss you, period. Like, who gives a damn? I don't want to kiss you. It shouldn't be like, oh, well, you don't want to kiss me because, no, maybe I just don't want to kiss you. And that's the part I think a lot of people missed about the whole Ginuwine thing. What if he just didn't want to kiss old girl, old dude, whatever you want to, terminology you want to use? Who gives a shit? Who gives a shit? This is not where we should plant our flag to say somebody's homophobic, I mean, or transphobic. That's ridiculous. Relax, people. Freaking relax.
But I mean, it to me, it goes back to, like Pat said, the genius of how they created a system to help protect them and be able to move forward. Because if you are, even when you are protecting yourself from an unwanted advance, you are still the problem. So that built their mechanism worked fine. But we see y'all, we got platforms, and we calling it, though. Because one thing we're not going to do, like we talked about earlier, Ginuwine is a representation of all black men in America. And it's like Jamie was talking about earlier about how one of the other genius things that they've been able to use is to tie the struggle of the LGBTQ community to the struggle of black people in America, which I keep telling people, you can't do that, because LGBTQ community have never been through what we've been through, and the LGBTQ community, certain members of the LGBTQ community were a part of the transatlantic slave trade, all the other slave trades, because if they wasn't, who was breaking the books?
Well, the community itself is racist, though, and that's been documented and well acknowledged for a while now. Like, they're not completely free of racism in their community.
That's true.
It was like that one. Hold on, before I cut you off. It was this one. He's a gay dude, but he's an alt right guy. He's Milo something. You know what I'm talking about?
Nah.
All right, it's this guy named Milo. I can't think of his last name. It's something weird. But he's part of the gay trans community, all that good stuff. And this guy's an open racist, right? So, to all my, you know, trans people of different colors and ethnicities, you're still facing the same thing first everybody else is facing, which is racism. Am I wrong or right in saying that? No,
I agree with you.
So if I think you can't overlook the racism that's in your own community and just start nitpicking little stuff like Ginuwine to make a stand on.
Well, I mean, it's like Michael Sam talked about it, but also like here in town, when they have the Pride Weekend, that's white pride, like the white gay pride and the black gay pride. They don't even have that together. Don't let what you see on TV fool you about those gay pride parades and those things. You have sprinkles of black people, but there's a total black gay pride that's separate from the white gay pride. Totally separate. And they're like black groups of black people got to understand that just because you have certain things in common with certain groups of people doesn't mean that racism and all these things are gone and don't exist. Like when you hear the kids saying that their generation don't see racism the same, that their generation don't see racism the way we like with other people. I mean, but y'all not doing nothing different. The people in the 60s said the same thing, and look at them. I mean,
it's so interesting because we keep getting caught up in these things. Like, that was racism in the abolitionist movement. Just think about that. There were a group of white people who said black people should not be animals. They're not beasts of burden. They shouldn't be slaves. But that don't make them equal to us. So even in the very movement that is championed as the ultimate example of white people working together with black people, you had slavery, or you had racism, I'm sorry. If that doesn't do anything to change your understanding of the situation, group dynamics, and how, you know, racism is going to be a part of most of your interactions with white people, then I don't know what does. I don't know how to help you with that. But then, like Jamie said, we go back to, this is just a piss poor example for you to plant your flag on. I mean, you sexually assaulted a man, and you want to use this? Like, if anything, I would be like, all right, yeah, India, whatever the hell your name is, you need to shut up on this one. We came back.
But you know what made me? I'm sorry not to cut you off. But you know what made me mad about this? If Ginuwine would have made that advance to India probably would have slapped Ginuwine. And nobody would have seen the problem with it. But if Ginuwine would have put hands on India, Ginuwine would be in a lot more trouble than he is now. The hypocrisy in that shit.
I wouldn't have had no problem with it, because India would.
I mean, of course we wouldn't have.
She ain't got the biological weaknesses that a woman does as far as physicality.
I refuse to get too deep in this conversation, because when you bring up biological differences and all that kind of stuff, it just brings up a, because I'm not gonna mention it, and for all of my sanity and not getting hate mail and get my house burned down, I'm not gonna go into it. But this is the wrong, absolutely wrong place to make a stance for this transgender rights or, you know, transphobia and all this. It doesn't meet the criteria for that. What Ginuwine was not wrong. He did nothing wrong. And I think because we're in a hypersensitive society, and right now transgender rights are kind of in the forefront in America and in different places in the world, everybody's reacting to it. Transgender community should have rejected this as soon as it came out, in my opinion. But since they didn't, everybody else should, because this is really a non-issue. That man has rights too.
Right. And that includes the right to say, I don't like you, and you can't kiss me, and I don't want to hug you.
Right.
But if you look at the video, he was cool with the dude. Like, he was chilling. It wasn't like he was on the other side of the room, or he wasn't in the corner fearful, like, don't touch me. Ginuwine was genuinely chilling, like, vibing and everything. It's just, old girl took it too far. And Ginuwine was like, nah, I'm good, fam. It's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Well, also like a point Pat was making about the abolitionists, and how they, like, the abolitionists' overall idea and objective was not necessarily the same as the black people, because I'm reading a book now called The Heroic Slave. It's a book written by Frederick Douglass, and it's talking about the uprising of the ship, the Creole, and the uprising that Madison Washington led. One of the things that they're talking about is how the abolitionists, how they had to separate themselves eventually from abolitionists, because they learned that the abolitionists, their overall agenda was not necessarily full liberation, but just like partial liberation in certain things. But the abolitionists were also, they also had ulterior motives and other agendas behind closed doors that the black people didn't have. So we got to, like, going back to Dr. John Henry Clark, we have no friends. We got to be our own friends.
For sure.
But you know, last little point, man. Genuine, you weren't wrong. Don't even worry about it, bro. Yeah. You know you weren't wrong.
Just watch which pony you start riding, Genuine.
Hey, man. Why? I'm trying to figure out, why is pony the jam for white girls? Like, white girls love that song. Like, they love that. I'm like, that song, oh, and it wasn't even that good.
You ain't been out in a while, man. Wait till you hear that Sweet Carolina, Pour Some Sugar on Me. That shit gets some lit.
Who?
That Pour Some Sugar on That song? You go to one of these clubs that FSU students go to and they play Sweet Carolina, Pour Some Sugar on Me, they gonna forget about some pony. They go crazy over that song.
I'm still trying to figure out how pony became his legacy in the first place. I mean,
that was his biggest commercial hit, though.
Was it?
Yeah, it was.
He had way better songs, though.
I'm thinking about, like, Differences and a whole bunch of other songs he had.
He had a whole bunch of other
songs.
Way
better than Pony.
No, it was songs that were way better, but commercially, that was his biggest hit.
Yeah.
See, I don't follow that commercial shit, so I wouldn't know.
Oh, I don't even know how that became his biggest hit, but whatever, man. All right, so I wanna before we get to the H&M thing, I wanna ask you all first, do you have any thoughts on Oprah's Golden Globe speech? And if you do have thoughts, like, what are your thoughts on Oprah's Golden Globe speech? In relation to what we just got from talking about with Genuine, just the overall sense of what are y'all thoughts?
Alright, so I got called negative, so maybe I should clear it up. I have no problem, no issue. No phobia with a black woman becoming president. Let me say that first and foremost.
Black woman phobia.
Yeah, I know. I have no issue with a black woman. If they're good and they are addressing the needs that I have as a voter, I'll vote for them regardless of what they look like and who they are. Let me state that first. But come on, people. Oprah give one dope speech. She dropped some bars on you guys. Now all of a sudden it's Oprah 2020. Like, get out of here, man. Stop with this fanaticism. Like, it's ridiculous. Just because you're a fan of someone and they say some stuff that likes you, that you like, and, you know, it makes you feel good inside, doesn't mean they should be the leader of the free world. Like, do we not learn anything already of fanaticism? Somebody talking the good talk, then we put them in power and they just effing something up. Oprah's brilliant. She built an empire. She does a lot of things behind the scenes we don't know about, and she really does. I mean, but we also got to understand Oprah, she rides that fence. She knows who are her primary supporters, and it's not black people. It's middle-aged white women. She knows that. So Oprah do just as much. That way everybody knows she's still down. She'll do your little black movie, look raggedy for a little bit, but she go right on TV where she has an international platform and literally says nothing. She doesn't move the needle much, but she'll say just a little bit. Other than championing the Obamas, giving a great speech, and building an empire, what political philosophies does Oprah represent? So it is none. I'm just asking that. That was a rhetorical question. The answer is none. But just because you're a fan of the woman, and she is brilliant, she's a brilliant sister, doesn't mean she should be president. It doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't. I don't care how much you think it is because you're a fan, and don't equate what we got going on now to just settling for any old thing that makes us feel good. And that's what a lot of people are doing. It's better than what we have now. It's better. Goddamn, I'm better than what you have now. hell, even Joe is better than what you may have now, and that's saying a lot, right? But don't get into these slippery slopes and these false equivalencies just because you don't like what's going on now. You're just, oh, the next person that makes me feel good, oh, they it. That's ignorant as hell, and Oprah just ain't it for 2020. Like, let's just stop. That's all I got. That speech was dope. I ain't gonna lie. I'm with everything she said in the speech. Let's do it, but come on, man. Oprah got a lot of skeletons in her closet, a lot of things we don't want to talk about in regards to Oprah. Let's just
ain't serious. That stuff they say in that speech, they ain't serious. They just be talking. Like, what real initiatives on a regular everyday basis do those type of people really do to stop sexual and domestic violence on a regular everyday basis? Not
Oprah has
just saying speeches, not just giving money or stuff like that, but what things like that is going on? Because speeches have never stopped sexual assault, and that's been one of my biggest beefs with all this about sexual assault. Somebody who actually puts in work on a regular basis, who goes out and are working with young men and men and women on a regular basis to try to curb the sexual assault issue, you got to do more than give speeches.
You ain't popular,
y'all. Has to be changed.
It's about popularity.
I dig that, but it's like I hear what she's saying in the speech, and I'm not saying don't say it, but activism and an activist does work, and an advocate speaks. Now, I'm not saying don't be an advocate, but we're not going to put an advocate to God level, and you have activists every day who doing real things in this, right? Because it's like Oprah's the new leader of violence against women. And one of the problems I did have with that is, why you ain't saying nothing about the men who get sexually assaulted? I ain't gonna lie. That was one thing I was saying. Like, men get black, especially black men have been getting sexually assaulted along with black women since we got here. So don't leave us out. But at the same time, it's just, my thing is, we need more action and less talk.
I agree. But again, because people hear this and think, you know, you crapping on Oprah. But a lot of people, they can't get over the popularity of what Oprah is. So when she makes that speech, somebody in her position, that platform, to me, it doesn't take the Golden Globes for you to do this. You got your own international TV show. You could have moved the needle on this years ago. You know what I'm saying? So why wait till all the cameras are on you till you got, like, this huge stage to do this? When you sit on TV, she got her own magazine where she's on the cover of every single magazine, which is a little weird to me. Like, come on, Oprah. Like, you can't get anybody else on the cover. Oh, I know it's named after you, but God damn, put somebody else on the cover, man. Like, chill. We know you own it. Put me on the cover, God damn it. But anyway, that's besides the point. What I'm trying to say is, get over Oprah being popular. There's plenty of people that are working hard to move the needle. People like Joe that are doing it on your local neighborhood level, going out and actually touching the people versus somebody just giving up there and talking. We should be tired of people just talking to us and making us feel good and actually look at someone's actions and how they're moving the needle towards said objective. That's all I got to say about Oprah.
I mean, but it's like you're in an environment where a lot of those people Well, hush, hush about a lot of stuff that's going on. And all of a sudden, oh, we want to wear black to the Golden Globes, and now all of a sudden things are going to be changed. A lot of y'all knew what was going on and they ain't do nothing.
Ooh, did you see Seal? Old Seal came through in the clutch. A lot of people are discounting what he's saying, and it's not getting as much spin as it should get, but he made an excellent point. Like, Oprah, you've been known Harvey Weinstein. You've been known he was a creep. Now, all of a sudden, the Golden Globes in 2018, this is where we plant the flag. And a lot of people miss that. They think he's hating and this, that, and the other, but he makes an excellent point. Like, what?
Man, if you talk about somebody who's, if you tell the truth about somebody who's popular, you always hate because that person popular. That's just what it is.
And that's why I'm going to be the ultimate hater.
Turn yourself up.
I'm fixing to be the ultimate hater. Let me go ahead and give people, and even in terms of Seal, he's taking back what he said about Oprah with all of the backlash that he faced for saying it. Look, y'all can't do nothing to me, so I don't care. I thought the speech, was it inspirational? Of course. Yes, it was. It was inspirational. And if I was a woman, I'm sure it would have moved me even more so. But did it mean anything? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I went and read the transcript. It was, that's what it was for me. I didn't feel it from Oprah, who is the same person who said, racism will end when all the old white people just die. Like, this is the person that we want speaking for Black America, the person that doesn't even understand the culture of white supremacy racism. Like, this is, you know, and then she got back. I mean, like, this one speech can't overlook all of the inactivity that she has had on her platform. I know she's done things behind the scenes. I know she's built schools. Cool. Power
business.
Rock on.
Man, she built schools in Africa. She ain't built no damn schools in Chicago where she's from.
Hey, I'm not even going to get into that because I understand people would be like, well, yeah, but she still built the school. What have you done? Like, we could easily be super picky and be like, well, there are a lot of claims now that say that a lot of the schools that she built have become dens for sexual trafficking. But we don't know if that's true or not. So I just try to stay away from that situation and just be like, all right, cool. She built schools. Great. She bought a lot of audience members' cars. Cool. She did a lot of things for people that have come to see her. But in terms of her total cultural impact and her ability to move the needle on racism or on sexism and sexual abuse and domestic violence in America, for the longest time, she was considered the most influential and powerful Black woman in America, and for a period of time in the world. And the fact that even with all of that power, she has been a completely insignificant figure when it comes to dealing with matters of race in America, and a virtually unknown figure when it comes to dealing with matters of sexual abuse, domestic abuse, and violence against women in America. That speaks volumes that can't be overshadowed by a simple speech. Gabrielle Union has been a lot louder in her proclamations and her standing up for victims of rape. And her platform is nowhere near the size of an Oprah Winfrey. And like Jamie said, she rides the fence. I ain't taking nothing away from Oprah. Like Jamie said, I agree. I think she's brilliant. I think she's talented. I think she's beautiful, too. Nothing against Oprah. But the fact remains, you're a fence rider. And you ride that fence well. And you're very good at giving people what they want to hear in the moment that they want to hear it. So I'm not moved by all of this. And I'm definitely not going to vote for a Black person who says what we need to have in America is for all the old white men to die. Like, if that is your honest to goodness solution to racism in America, I cannot get behind that platform whatsoever.
But most people can't get past the fanaticism of the whole situation. I mean, again, what you said about Gabrielle Union and a lot of other women who literally did a lot in 2017 or continue to do a lot in 2018, they're not even getting the same spin. And they're actually doing stuff that's constructive and productive to move the needle. Oprah, like, literally, I get it. You know, Oprah come out, she'll do a little Black movie where she looks raggedy, and, you know, it's all good in the hood, and she'll go back to the show talking about absolutely goddamn nothing. But other than, you know, people like, oh, she championed the Obamas, okay, that's great, hoorah. But other than that, Oprah giving her power in Hollywood and entertainment, X, Y, and Z, this woman has her own television network. She could put so many different people on, educate so many different people. She could move the needle left, right, whatever way she wanted to, but she hasn't. She does stuff behind the scenes, granted, but as in, you know, being overt about it, no, because she has to, you know, to me, she's at a point where she don't need anybody else's money, but she could just go off the track and do whatever the hell she wanted to do, but she rides that fence because she knows who her primary supporters are. So,
right. And again, I do want to clarify, this is not to pit Gabrielle Union against Oprah Winfrey, because I know some person is going to hear this and they're going to do that. That is not what we're doing here. That is not the case whatsoever, which is illustrating the disparity and the level of attention people get based off of the fandom that they have. Oprah Winfrey, nobody's taken away from anything she's done. She has been a huge moral victory for the black community. And I choose my words carefully when I say that. She has been a huge moral victory for the black community. Her success has been something that we could point our daughters to and say, look at what that black woman did. Her amongst others, but she's definitely one of the brighter stars. But when it comes to standing up for our people, like even in the speech for me walked a lot of lines because she was very careful while calling out, while drawing attention to the suffering of women. She was also careful to point out the fact that there are a lot of men who have fought to give women an opportunity, but she never really drew any direct statements to modern racism. Not that I read when I read the transcript. She gave some historical racist scenarios and how they helped shape her, but she didn't say anything about modern racism and how things are still happening. The speech was very much a women's speech, and it was still, even in that, very much towing the line of making sure that I give everybody their credit and I don't offend anybody. And to that, I'm not even attacking her. I'm just saying that's kind of been Oprah's thing. When she says what's appropriate at the appropriate time, worded in an appropriate way so that you can't really get on to her in any meaningful manner. And then she goes back to doing what could be called consequentially nothing relative to her power and influence to actually change matters in the world. Not even in the world, because I can't say that, because I'm sure a lot of those people that go to those schools in Africa, they feel very much changed. So I will say this. In America, she's moved the needle nil to none in America.
And that's the thing with people, when you start criticizing someone that's on the level of Oprah, you know, they're quick to point out what she has done. And nobody's taking that away from Oprah. She's done a lot. She's behind the scenes probably done things we don't even know about.
I'm sure.
But is it wrong for us to say, hey, we need a little more? And she knows we do. Everybody knows the issues that are facing people here in America. We need a little bit more than a speech. We need a little bit more than the secret acts behind the doors. You could literally be a beacon of hope, a voice. You have your own television network, son. Like, you can make a whole show about one particular topic, and that's all they talk about every single day, and it's in the living rooms of every damn American with some damn cable. You know how powerful that is? The only reason people recite fake news is because it's repeated every single day on a television station that is in your home. That's it. She literally has a propaganda tool that she could use to freaking do some diabolical shit. And I feel it's not. Put me on there. I'll start some shit. Look, I'm fucking with you, Oprah. Don't put me
Oprah on don't have. Oprah is too visible, too powerful, and too influential to try to pretend to be a dark worker. That is not her lane. We like, and I don't think she wants that to be her line. Oprah's been out front, but I do think Oprah fears backlash. And I think she's had enough backlash in her life to not to want any more, and that's understandable. But if you want to be out there in the forefront, you got to be willing to take a little bit of backlash. I still remember the backlash she faced when she said there was more than one way to get into heaven, and she about got in an argument with her audience. So, you know, after that, we didn't hear Oprah making too many more statements about
Oprah was coming up. No. When Oprah was coming up, you know what I'm saying, when she was getting her little, you know, walking up and down the aisle interviewing people, Oprah had some controversial stuff on her show. She had some Klansmen up there once. She had shows about all kinds of stuff. But you look at the content now, it's not catered towards, you know, pushing the needle on controversial topics or talking about things that are, you know, important to the American people, what's going on right now. It's about putting people in the book club, dancing with Ellen and shit like that. But back in the day, Oprah used to have some shit on there, man. Not gonna lie.
True. That's a good point. That's a good point. All right, Joe, you've been listening to us go back and forth.
All I know is these black communities are not improving. That's all I know. And if I see that these black communities are continuously not improving, you got all these people talking about what they've been doing, I'm asking, well, where the hell are you doing it at?
Yo, Chicago is interesting, too, because Oprah's there. The Nation of Islam is there. Y'all can get mad at me. I don't care. You know, Farrakhan, all those guys are there. That with all of that black power in Chicago, it's a wonder why that community should really be like the shining star example for all of the other communities. I mean, literally everybody has something in Chicago. And I understand Chicago is getting better. I'm not saying it's bad, but Chicago is not up to its potential.
I never thought of it that way. I honestly, when I mention Chicago, most people mention Chicago, they just use it as a, oh, what about Chicago? Black on black crime, all that stupid shit, right? But you bring up an excellent point. All those organizations right there in Chicago. I mean, you even have former President Obama. He has an organization there. You would think, and it is getting better. A lot of people, they over-glamorize the violence in Chicago as if it's goddamn, you know, the middle of Iraq or some goddamn where. But it's gotten better, but with all those organizations there, you would think that Chicago would be the blueprint for other cities to take on. That's an interesting point, Patrick.
I had to call you. People. That's because people ain't, like, they not really, like, all right, some of y'all finna be mad at me. Let's be real, man. These people who we talking about ain't really doing what they supposed to be doing. Like, there are communities all over this country. And I'm not saying that it's Oprah's job to heal America. I'm not saying, we're not saying this, but if I'm a person of influence and I have resources and I should be able to put something to improve my area. And if the white sides of town are getting better and the black sides of towns are getting worse, somebody ain't doing their job. Let's just be real. There's no way to explain that, these people are really doing this. How? And you have the resources, and we don't see nothing change. If I had more resources than I have now, let me have more resources than I have now. You would see significant changes in my city. But hell, even with the little money I got, I try to do as much as possible. Hell, I pop up in the hood. We're going to feed the kids. We're going to talk to the kids. We do stuff like that. We literally, like, do. It's not hard. Like, we don't have a lot of money. And it's not hard to go into these communities and help uplift these communities. But people ain't doing it. So I'm calling bullshit on all these people who talk about they doing stuff in the community.
That lady that introduced Oprah said that her hugs can end wars. So I'm placing a lot on Oprah. If your hug can end wars, then you need to be going through the community hugging every motherfucker you see.
And if you think somebody should be president, if you think somebody should be president because they gave a good speech, your right to vote should be revoked. Because this is not about I don't like Trump, so we might as well go with Oprah, because hey, at least Oprah don't have that's basically the same as walking into Burger King and you hear the manager at Burger King give a good speech to the staff, and then you know what, you finna be the next speaker at my event, really?
Hey, you know Trump has already announced. He announced last week, I think. That he would beat Oprah in a presidential election. So, and you know, Trump full of shit, but when it comes to talking about who he can beat in politics, he's batting 100 right now.
I mean, Trump got the real white folk behind him.
But that demographic is dying off. But anyway, to lighten this up. Let's relax on the Oprah talk, people. Like, there's... And to me, if Oprah's your number one candidate, then you haven't been doing your due diligence as a responsible voter. There's other candidates out there we should be looking at. We should start researching now that we're proactive and we're just not accepting the gruel that whatever comes up in 2020, like, hey, here it is. These are only two people. We should start doing our research now. That way, whether it be a DNC can't tell us, oh, this person's not votable and any bullcrap like that. Start researching that. And just don't get buy into, oh, this person's black or this person's a female. A lot of people, Kamala Harris? Everybody was talking about her before Oprah came up. Hell, people were talking about Michelle Obama for president at one point. Then Oprah gave her speech and everybody forgot about Michelle. I mean, I have more confidence in Michelle than Oprah, but that's just me. But anyway.
Of course.
Get rid yourself of all this fanaticism and, you know, being I was going to say something horrible, but being a little, fanboy. I said fuckboy, but whatever. Being a fanboy, fangirl about these celebrities and you want them to lead the whole nation. That's stupid. Do your research. There's a lot of great candidates that are coming out. Hell, we got the 2018 elections. Let's not overlook that shit. Let's focus on that. Then we focus on 2020. How about that?
That's where I'm at. I think it is far too early. I mean, if you ask me, I'm not looking for nobody that want to be president anyway. I'm looking for somebody that's going to get the job done that don't want the job, because that way I ain't got to worry about them being power hungry and nothing stupid like that, and I can spend the next 2 years after 2018 convincing them that they need to run. I'm trying to create my own candidates. I ain't waiting for, all right, well, these are the people who said they want the job.
Yeah.
I got to pick between these losers. No. And if that means Jay or Joe are the people that need the job, then you can bet your ass I'm going to be right here on the show. Hey, man. Joe and Jay for 2020.
Might as well. I'm bringing free lunch, free pizza, free lunch back, man. That's what I'm doing.
And y'all got a catchy little, thing with the name, Jay and Joe.
We ain't no hoes. Oh, shit. We got it, Joe. Hey, yo. It's official.
Hey, if you're trying to win, you don't want me on your campaign team. I do black history stuff. You know how people support that. So.
Hey, oh, man. Y'all stupid.
Hey, but anyway, hey, man, final thought, final topic that we want to talk about today, this H&M ad, man. So, Jamie, I want to start with you. What's your thoughts on this whole H&M ad? Then we get with Pat, and I'll give you my thoughts. So.
So, let me clear my throat real quick. First and foremost, fuck a H&M. That's my first thought. Second thought is, we got to stop bandwagoning so much shit, people. All right, we just had the Keaton Jones bandwagon. All you simple motherfuckers jumped on that. Oh, my God. Then to find out that his mom's a white supremacist, his dad's a white supremacist, this, that, and other, you don't have the full story. Now the egg's on your face, and you just finally delete all your tweets and statuses. So here comes H&M. Granted, I'm not absolving H&M from being some on some fuck shit. They really were. They knew. Come on. And we should know this by now. We shouldn't react to something like this because we know that's the game they're playing now. We've seen the same story. Throw a rock, hide your hands. Oh, we're going to take sensitivity training. We're going to put more people on the staff. First of all, H&M been on some fuck shit. They had a history of non-inclusion. They've been on some fuck shit. That's number one. Number two, we got to start addressing the parents in situations like this. We got people amongst us in the black community that will sell out for the lowest possible goddamn price. They have no dignity for themselves, and they have no dignity for their children. Granted, it's not the little boy's fault. I'm not blaming that child. He's not in a position to know any better at this point. What we should be looking at is the mother who pretty much co-signed it. She was like, yo, y'all tripping. I'm cool with this. This is one of the 1,000 other outfits he did. I have no problem with it. Black people crying wolf. And a lot of people are like, oh, she's from a foreign country. She doesn't know. First of all, racism is international. This shit is global. So I'm not playing this, oh, she's from Kenya, so she doesn't know. Damn that. Those missionaries tell her exactly what the hell she is on a constant basis. So you're not going to sit here and fool me into believing that this mother doesn't know what racism is and doesn't know they're making a fool of her child. She knows that, but she isn't concerned with that because she's getting that bag. So first and foremost, let's address it where the problem actually is, a root cause and analysis. If the mama doesn't co-sign to this shit, it never happens. H&M doesn't have the opportunity to co-sign to this shit. So what should we do? Black models shouldn't even go to a H&M. First of all, I shopped at H&M before. Yeah, I got a hoodie from there once. The shit was dope. But they don't make clothes for the black people. Hell, all their jeans are under the size of 36 and none of my athletic fits. I got thick thighs and some butt cheeks. Them shits don't fit me. So fuck a H&M. I'll stick rocking my Levi's, my 501s. Fuck them. But we don't even, H&M has no impact on the lives of black people. It has no consequence whether we support them or not. So going to H&M and doing all this Facebook shit y'all were doing, changing it, protesting and this, that, and the other, just stop fucking with them. You never fuck with them anyway. So what does it matter now? Now, I'm not agreeing. This is the game these people are playing in 2018, and even in 2017 they're playing the same game. Stop being so goddamn reactionary to every single little fucking thing. Granted, what they did was fucked up. I get it. But on the grand scheme of things, how does that impact you in your everyday life? It fucking doesn't. Just don't buy shirts from them. They're not going to miss your fucking $12 anyway when they have a sale. You're not their primary demographic. So they really don't give a shit about losing your business, because if they did, they would have never ran this ad. Use some fucking common sense, people. They don't give a shit about your punk-ass little money and your punk-ass protest. Fuck H&M. Stop fucking with them. And let's focus on the real things that have an impact on our daily lives and stop looking at this symbolism, punk-ass moral victory bullshit. We got to stop selling for moral victories in 2018 and hold motherfuckers to the wire. Like, just they apologize. Now what? Everybody forgot about it. Everybody forgot. Nobody's tweeting about it. All you little dumbass celebrities who posted these pictures and all this shit, they're not even talking about it no more. Because guess what? There's more important shit going on than the kid in the hoodie. And I'm not discounting. All I'm saying is we got more important shit to worry about than a fucking H&M. Fuck H&M. Fuck your punk-ass feelings. Grow a pair and realize we got more important shit to focus on. That's all I got to say. Go fuck Jay, right? Yeah, exactly. I'm done.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I mean, I agree with Jamie. I do think it's a non-issue, especially once the mob comes out and co-signs H&M. At that point, fuck are you mad for? Like, that alone, you know, that just, all of the anger should just evaporate at that moment. Now, if you want to redirect it because you don't want to evaporate, that's fine. She's more than earned a little bit of ass whooping from the community. Yeah, she definitely has. So at this point, I'm like, you know, all of the protests and tearing down the stores. And to a larger point, I did a Lessons from the Screen. The one I put out this past week was on the Road to Zero. And it's talking about a financial report that came out that basically says by 2053, black people will have a median wealth of zero. A median wealth of zero. A median wealth of zero. I say that three times for effect. Now listen, what that essentially means right now, and it has meant for the duration of the 2000s, and this is something I've been tracking since 2010, I think, maybe a little bit longer. Yellow punk ass boycott does not mean anything. That's what that means. It doesn't shake the needle. Your dollars don't have the weight they had in the 50s and 60s when you were able to stop shopping at a store in a predominantly black town and cripple that company and bring them to the table. Nowadays, your dollars are easily replaced. Asians, Latinos, Hispanics, white people, foreigners, you know what I'm saying, foreign markets, your dollars are easily replaced, okay? The only people that hurt because they're not getting black dollars is black people. And y'all ain't boycotting them. You're just not shopping with them. So let's stop with the whole, we going to hurt their feelings by hurting their pocket. Look, no, you're not. If anything, you're making it matters easier for them, because once they determine that they're not going to get your dollars, they really can give a fuck about what you care about and what you got going on. Not saying they give a fuck now. So to me, it's a non-issue. If you want to be upset, you know, okay, did they trick the mom? Did they trick the boy? Did they change the clothes up? Is it Photoshop? Whatever. if any of those situations happen, I'm with you. I still think it's a small issue on the larger scale of things, but I'm with you with being upset. The moment the mom comes out and basically tells all y'all to chill the fuck out, I mean, you, like, all right, and then you got Shine and all, Shine John and Puffy and all these other coming out talking, well, I'm going to get a boy a $1 million contract. You're realizing you're putting more money into the hands of his of a mother who signed her kid up for the same treatment that you disagree with?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Wow. So that's kind of where I'm at with the whole thing. I'm just like, one, it was kind of a non-issue to begin with, because very first thing we said was where the mother at. We found the mother.
Yep.
She's cool with it. Okay. Next issue.
Yeah, I get the sentiment. My angle toward this is via social media, everybody trying to change the language on the shirt, make it some kind of uplifting, empowering message and all that. I get that, but once the mother don't give a shit about her son being a little monkey, you know, I get what everybody's doing, but once the mother be like, man, fuck that, that's my little monkey, and we paid it. I mean, where do you go from that? Like, where do you go from there? And it's like, I don't know. I mean, it's because it's like black people. I don't know, man. Because you got on one end, you got people mad. On the other end, you got people who don't understand why people mad. And it's just, I mean, don't take disrespect. Like, those white people blatantly disrespected that lady. But the check was too good for her to even care. This, now, if you can't, that black lady and black and people across the world, people across the world know you don't associate black people with monkeys. People know that. People know that there's a negative connotation with associating black people with monkeys across the world. People know this. This is not some kind of underground American thing. People know this. Matter of fact, if you watch like these those English soccer games and those European soccer league games and those South American soccer league games, when they be throwing bananas on the field and making monkey sounds and all, this thing is global. It really shows in the soccer and stuff, right? So when they talk about, oh, it was our mistake. So, all right, like I said earlier, if that shirt would have said the coolest fairy in the candy shop, the LGBTQ community would have had H&M's ass. Right? Now, once the mother says, fuck y'all, we got this money, we don't care what y'all think, I'm backing off. I don't shop at H&M anyway. I can't even tell you if H&M even exists in this city. People tell me it do, but obviously I don't shop, so I don't know. I didn't know what it was.
I'm being honest.
I didn't either. I had to ask people, so what H&M said, and I'm still asking. Like, this one girl at work told me I wouldn't shop there because they sell them tight-ass pants, so that's all I
Yeah, that's what I said, man. All them pants are little as fuck. Fuck H&M.
They said they're European-style clothing. I don't want to dress like James Bond and all the mother boys. So. You know.
It's just, with this, just my last comment, man. Again, it's going back to fanaticism because, again, this whole calling out thing, it all started on Twitter. Then all the celebrities got behind it. Then people just felt compelled. Oh, T.I. is posting about it. And this for, oh, let me say something. Oh, you're a king. It makes you feel good. Great. Feeling good is awesome. But you're not doing fucking shit to solve the issue or the problems that are persistent against black people. So fuck your little punk ass, one day activism, one day outbreak. Because I had a lot of people mad at me about the shit I said. I said, where the mom and daddy at? I don't care. I don't give a fuck about an H&M. Everybody's like, oh, maybe they took pictures and the parents weren't allowed in the photo shoot.
Man, bullshit. Oh, that young man under the age of 18. Bullshit.
Maybe they took the pictures and they photoshopped that on it. And sometimes, you know, I'm like, okay, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. At the end of the day, somebody signed a consent form. That's all that matters. If I know, I'm not going to take right now, if I take one of my children to H&M, I should be on high alert they're going to pull some bullshit because I'm black and I got two little black babies. That's what else do you need at that point? So once the mother came out and said what she said, a lot of the people who jumped on the bandwagon, again, the Keaton Jones bullshit social media bandwagon, they had an egg on their face. And they silently just deleted their statuses, just fucking let this whole story disappear.
I actually loved the way she came out in defense of it.
I did, too. She was like, I'm trying to get this bag. Fuck y'all. And fuck y'all.
Even to that, like, how she said it to as if to disprove a lot of the narratives that were trying to vindicate her. Like, I was right there during the entire shoot.
She every theory we had against it being some fuck shit, I was right there, I approve. He wore 1,000 outfits that day, so every narrative people had against H&M, she dispelled all of it and put the onus completely on her, and everybody just went silent. They didn't drag the mom on black Twitter, the fucking soul trolls didn't say shit, everybody just went quiet.
If I was on social media, and I think everybody needs to get on social media, if I'm being honest. But if I was on social media, I'd have drugged the shit out of her ass after that. I would have. Just don't.
They didn't. All these parents out here that was fucking all jumping in my shit because I said I want to blame the mother. Nobody said shit about that mother after that shit came out because they had an egg on their face and they felt embarrassed because they just jumped on something because it was popular. Stop going. Yo, if everybody jump off the bridge, are you jumping? Probably if everybody in the world do it, right? You don't want to be the only motherfucker still alive. But that's not the point here. Just going along with the flow and just being mad because everybody else is mad is stupid as fuck. Take a second and think objectively, think critically, and think for your fucking self and come to a conclusion.
Man, if you from the beginning, if you from the beginning didn't know that this was this little boy mama fault, if you didn't know from the beginning this was this little boy parents fault from the beginning, something wrong with you. So that means you just let your kids do any goddamn thing then, huh? So, because as a parent, you don't realize that motherfuckers need your permission for that for your child. Like the little boy with you walking down the street going to get a lollipop. Hey, and some H&M cracker said, hey, little black boy, you want to come be our little monkey for the day? Yeah, little cracker white man, let me be your monkey for the day. And going to the store, hey, look, we finna take some cracker pictures of you, and we want to put this hoodie on you that say, coolest monkey in the trunk, little monkey black boy. Do you feel good about being a little monkey? Yeah, little cracker man, I do feel it. Yay! Nah, that didn't happen.
All right, Joe took this to like 1,000.
Right. Like, what the fuck was that?
But in not using the same language Joe used, he's correct in saying somebody allowed this slow young man to do this, and that person should be held accountable. You have to sign a release form, and it's just not. And here's the thing: even if the narratives we were making up for the situation, or the mom didn't know about it, blah blah blah. If I take my children and take a photo shoot, and H&M comes back and I see some shit that's on some fuck shit, guess who's leading the charge? Me. I'm setting up all these accounts. Yo, look at what H&M's doing to my baby. I asked them to take the pictures. They were insensitive and they ignored me. I would be leading the charge. But being that the mother was not leading the charge, it was some soul troll on black Twitter, quote unquote, that to me threw up the red flag as in saying the mother didn't give a shit because where's the mother in this situation? You're not going to have an opinion on my babies, you know what I'm saying? They getting dead wrong and I'm just sitting back. No, I would have led the charge on this shit. So everybody who jumped on that bandwagon, wipe the egg off your face and be smarter next time. Because it's going to be a next time and the next time after that.
But the other point is the subtle view that they must have of black mothers in general. That the assumption is that she was tricked into allowing her child to be taken advantage of. Like you think about, to me, that narrative sounds like you're basically calling her a bad mom and trying to defend her being a bad mom because of the activity because as a responsible parent, I understand that the teachers at public schools can't even teach my children anything from the curriculum without me signing off on it. That's why they bring you home all of those damn forms. That's also why school board officials have to be elected, and that's why PTA associations are so powerful. So the narrative of they tricked the mom, A, that narrative in and of itself says that we assume that the mom is stupid enough to be tricked.
Man, that's she not, said she was right there when the pictures was being taken. You mean tell
right.
me she didn't see the hoodie that said, look, coolest monkey in the jungle? Come on, man.
But I'm not even getting into that. I'm just getting into the actual narrative of people making excuses for why the mom might have been tricked. So the first narrative is she was tricked. So now we're calling the mom stupid. Then
yeah.
the second narrative of, well, maybe she didn't know. So now we're calling the mom negligent. So then you get a third narrative of, well, maybe they photoshopped it after she left. So now we're calling the mom a combination of negligent and uncaring towards the image of her own child because she's not viewing the rolling, leading the charge, as Jamie put it. So even in the narrative of us defending the mom, we're attacking the mom and showing some of our negative biases towards black parents and black mothers. And that's how I see it. I know that might be a stretch to some people, but I honestly think us asking what the fuck is up with the mom is showing more respect to the mom and her parenting ability than us immediately making excuses as to why she was taken advantage of, to me. And I'm just going to put that out there as well for all you people that were jumping to defend her because you thought that she was too stupid to understand that she might be getting taken advantage of, or because you thought that she was just some ghetto black hoe who was a crackhead not paying attention to what her child was doing, because that's how I read it all. You know, like, you guys aren't, you don't really care about black people. You care about the next big story. You care about speaking your piece, as irrelevant and unimpactful as it might be. And then you care about signing off of Twitter and watching your favorite TV show.
You know, everybody forgot about H&M, and that happened, what, just this past week or so? So, yeah.
Shout out to them South Africans for tearing up that goddamn.
Oh, yeah. Yo, I saw that video. This one dude kicked the shit out of the clothes. Yo, he kicked the shit out of that. It didn't go down the first time. He kicked the shit out of it again. That was hilarious, man.
It ain't
and
no real
what?
Victory. It ain't a real victory, but I like seeing it.
But true. But they closed. Now, I just read an article before we got on the show. They closed down all the H&M stores in South Africa. And if you don't know, South Africa is pretty much a little Britain, if you will. It's not full of black people whatsoever. But my thing is, they saw it, and they was like, oh, we with the shit. We not better just get on social media and post some bullshit. We gonna take this shit up. I thought that was funny. I don't know. Maybe I'm
wrong. It was a whole mob that went down. So.
And now H&M gets to collect the insurance money.
That's a fact. That's a fact. But
it ain't a real victory.
But it was funny.
I'm sure it was. I didn't see the clip that Joe told me about. I'm sure it was very funny.
Oh, man. That shit was funny. Anyway, I think this is wrapping up our last topic.
Hey, dog. Don't you tell people that. I'm telling people that, okay? I'm
just
taking my words. Okay.
I was just about to say some crazy shit, but whatever.
No. Hey, freestyle. Who wants to freestyle first?
Quick freestyle, because I don't want to stay long on this topic, man. But we talked about it, 2 weeks ago, the beginning of the year? Umar Johnson and all that kind of
man.
Shit. Hey, man. At this point, what did old dude say in Rocky? Was it Rocky 4 or something? If he dies, he dies. Let this shit die. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people keep trying to here's the thing. Umar, Tariq, they have their own different lanes, and they do their own different things. However, once you start merging those lanes and you try to be funny, Tariq's a funny-ass dude. He's an entertainer. This is what he does, so I'm not mad at him. But Umar, I don't know if y'all saw these tweets he's been putting out. He's asking for, you know, the donors for Hidden Colors to ask for, you know, how the money spent,
man,
this, that, and
man,
all that.
Umar stupid for that.
Yo,
and he's talking about checking the white camera. Umar was in 3 Hidden Colors. You mean to tell me he just not realized that the cabin crew was white? Umar, you full of shit on this, man. You can't tell me just now this week you just own. I can't believe it.
And my
camera
thing
crews
is,
are white. Come on, Umar. You'd have benefited off of 3 Hidden Colors. Now you got a problem with the camera crew. You full of shit, Umar.
And my thing is, despite whatever color the camera crew was, he still shot quality films, and he delivered on what he said he was going to deliver on. That's the thing I got it on. I didn't want him to put out a bullshit quality just because he want. No, he did what he's supposed to do. He did his due diligence. Whatever. At the end of the day, we got the product we needed as a community. Umar is the last person to be talking about some financial management and accountability.
Right.
And my thing is, and it's the fans, man. It's the I'm calling them fans, not followers. They're fans. Y'all got to stop this shit. If somebody's wrong, have no problem in calling them out and saying, brother, you're wrong, X, Y, and Z. But it's the fans who keep this shit going because, oh, I support you. I stand with you. It ain't no standing with this or that. It's no side to choose. It's either you with the shits or you're not with the shits. And if we're looking at it from an objective point of view, Umar is fucking up. He is. And we can say both of them are on some petty shit. We know that. If you ever listen to Tyreek, of course this guy's petty. He's an entertainer. This is more his lane. But the brother does a lot of good stuff in his lane. And I can say the same about Umar. He speaks a lot of good stuff. But at the end of the day, bruh, chill the fuck out. All these fucking names you give yourself and all this shit. This dude put himself in the same category as Malcolm X and Martin and all that. It's like, bruh, nah, you can't do that to yourself. The people got to put you in that category. Nobody's putting you in that category. Everybody needs to sit back, be humble, get back on your shit, and focus on what you're good at. And let that shit die. And the fans, stop being fucking fans and be objective and understand he is on some bullshit. This whole situation is bullshit. And let this shit go. Let it die out. Let it die out. It's funny as fuck. I ain't gonna lie. But let this shit die. This shit is kind of funny, though. I hate to be that guy. It's funny.
One of the biggest problems I have with this is no matter what anybody else does, Umar is gonna come out looking like he was the victim. No matter that he started this, every video that I've been watching, looking at comments and all these things, everybody's like so disappointed in Voice Watkins and so disappointed in Tariq Nasheed. But a question I asked Pat earlier is, if I'm Voice or if I'm Tariq, how much longer do I allow Umar to keep doing this before I say something? That's for anybody. And people, because the reason why I ask that is because it's easy from my position as Joseph Ward to say, well, you know what? They should just ignore it. It's easy for me to say that from my position, but I'm trying to put myself in their shoes. And at what point do you not ignore it anymore and you say something?
It hit a boiling point with Tariq. It hit a boiling point with Dr. Boyz. And what Umar is creating this narrative that everybody's against him, everybody wants his spot. He sounds like a paranoid Tony Montana at this point. Like, that's what he reminds me of. He's snorting coke in his damn mansion. He's got all these security cameras. He thinks the whole world's against him. When a lot of the enemies that he perceives he has, he's created himself. Like, nobody's rooting for you to lose, dog. But if you keep coming out here with this fuck shit and talking crazy and this, that, and the other, now people going to start questioning you. Now people going to start getting your ass about your psychology stuff, this, that, and the other. There's a sense of humility you have to have. And I'm not saying he's got to kiss anybody's ass, but the way this dude is moving, the people in his inner circle are failing him. His fans are failing him. He needs to be drawn in a little bit. All these fucking titles. He got so many fucking names, I can't even keep up with it. I'm in Vada, like some shit, I can't even pronounce it. He's Papa. I'm not calling another man Papa. I refuse. All this, like, chill the fuck out, man. Stay in your square. Do what you're good at. Get your shit off. And just live life, man. Stop trying to be this whole paranoia. Everybody wants my spot. I'm the number one. This, that, and that. Like, This ain't wrestling, bruh. You ain't the Intercontinental Champion. Chill out.
That Umar Hive is going to come get you.
Yo, man, you are not the Intercontinental. Only person coming at you right now is probably the Undertaker to get his belt back, because that's how you look like a fucking clown-ass wrestler. Chill out. You're just, smart.
Hey, you can tell Umar watch wrestling coming up. You can tell.
But I hate it because I think the brother is a great speaker. I think sometimes he does have a good message. But I think he's in a circle where they just feed his ego. His fans feed his ego, and he doesn't understand, you know, all right, I can't move like this. Who the hell is going to send their kid to a school and the damn founders over here sleeping with strippers and over here on social media cracking corny-ass jokes and just looking stupid as hell? Who's doing that? It's like,
be surprised. Hey, the Umar Hive is just almost... It want to be the Beehive, but the Umar Hive kind of real now.
Dog, your leader's over here smashing strippers, conscious strippers. I'm not knocking strippers. The booty hustle, the naked hustle, I support you. Get your dollars and get out of the game. Do your Cardi B thing. But come on, man. Here you are trying to lead people's kids into a school and stuff like this, and you over here tricking off on strippers. No, I'm not sending my kids to your school. And as fans, you should be able to call that out and be like, Umar, you're wilding. You need to move different. This, that, and the other. There's no issue with holding people you deem as a leader accountable for their actions and what they say.
That's part of your responsibility.
As a follower, thank you. As a follower, that is your responsibility. But fuck it. You want to be a fanboy. So eat a dick. I shouldn't have said that. Eat ass with a spoon or a fork. And
well, Umar is immature, and I honestly think most of his fans are too. And y'all can take that however y'all want to take it. But anybody that doesn't have the capability to see and address the weaknesses of somebody they choose to follow and believes any narrative blindly, like if you call yourself an Umar fan but you never read the documents surrounding this recent court issue, if you call yourself an Umar fan, but you never bothered to, or Umar follower, but you never bothered to research all his beefs that he's created. He's created all of these beefs over the years. If you call yourself an Umar follower, but you haven't thought at least in the slightest about inquiring as to the funds regarding the school, if you call yourself an Umar fan and you're overlooking all of these slights, even the treatment of the stripper when she came out because he attacked her. And the way he attacked her, and the way he's attacked, the SETI situation, the way he's attacked, boy, the way he's relentless, even the way he's attacked the parents when he didn't get the money that he thought he was going to get for the school. Like, if you call yourself an Umar follower and none of that stuff sets you off, you're an immature person. And he is clearly immature. He's not emotionally stable. We see that in his videos. We see that in his behaviors and his activities. Umar is not a coon, but he is not an asset to the community either. I was talking to Joe. We don't have a word for that. We need to create
one. But we got
one.
A word. We got a word. We're just trying to find a better way to use it.
We
got to
find a better one.
Because we're not about tearing people down, but we are about telling the truth. But we do have a word.
But Umar is not, like Jamie said, like you said, Jay, he's fucking up. He's not taking care of business. He's not putting his best foot forward. And one of the biggest problems is he doesn't have an inner circle. All he has is his fans. That's literally it. He's sitting in that hotel room by himself every night staring at his fans who are doing their damnedest to suck his digital cock. And yes, I said cock.
And that, what you said, Pat, wraps it up. People, because we're fans, we don't want to be objective. We just want to, hey, anytime we see somebody famous, you know, we don't want to, oh, hey, I love you, this, that, and other. We just want to share. And some people can't take that the way they should. You know, it gets to their ego sometimes and this, that, and the other. So with him as fans, we have to be critical of him. And him, he even was critical of the people who didn't show up to his court hearing that he had helped, quote unquote, over the years. I can't believe the lack of parents that didn't show up after that. And I'm just sitting like, are you serious? If I'm winning a court case, the last thing I'm worrying about is who showed up or not. I'm just glad I'm won, and now I'm going to go back to the mission at hand. But he's keeping receipts on everybody who does. And that, to me, is not the qualities of a leader, as somebody we should put at the forefront of black consciousness or the community. Anybody who makes up a name as the King Kong of consciousness should automatically be disqualified to be a leader of anything. What the fuck is that? Like, seriously?
Is that real?
No, he actually said that shit. And anytime he has a disagreement, oh, we can box, we can do, like, come on, man. Come on, like, are you literally that? You want to square up in a boxing match? This dude literally said he gonna get Bernard Hopkins, because he's from Philly, to train him to fight Tariq Nasheed. Man, shut your simple ass down with that shit. And you fans, shut y'all simple ass up with that shit too, dog. Get back on your square, preach your shit, learn how to be more accountable, and get better as a leader. And that's the thing I don't think he wants to do. I think he feels he's reached his plateau of leadership, and he has nowhere else to go. He's at the top, this, that, and the other, when there's so many different areas he can improve on and be the, you know, a voice and leader that essentially we could use in the black community and we need in the black community. But I don't think he sees that yet, because it's fans of fuckboys and fuck girls.
No, and to
fuck
be clear,
people. Should I say fuck people to be gender neutral? I'm sorry. Should I say that?
No, they all have to be all right. Fuckboys.
But no, I'm going to say fuck people, because I don't want anybody coming at me.
To be clear.
Somebody might not want to be a fuck boy. They might want to be a fuck girl.
Oh, yeah. I'm going
to
say fuck people.
And I'm going to say this to be clear, because whenever you talk about this, people always say, well, Umar's done this, this, and this. What have you done? First off, Umar ain't done nothing but give a bunch of good lectures. Let's stop with the bullshit. All right?
It's a fact.
So, let me give my credentials so y'all can suck my dick. One. Oh, shit. Joe and Jamie, y'all rubbing off on me. That's not even the way I talk.
Yeah.
One, I saved thousands of lives over the course of my life, of course, of my professional career. I saved thousands of lives. If he could say it, I could say it, too. Matter of fact, early today, I told this kid to get out the street. So, 1,001. Five. And we can play these same games he played all damn day. Two, I've written 4 books. All 4 of them were awesome. All 4 of them changed people's lives. So I've changed hundreds of thousands of people's lives. If he could say it, I could say it too. You don't ask him for proof, don't ask me for proof. 3, we start in the school. We really are trying to start a school. Don't ask me for proof. He could say it, I could say it. So, whatever. 4, and I ain't even asked none of y'all for no money. So how about them apples? 5, I've written tons of plans and blueprints and documents for nonprofit organizations all over the country to help them make a better impact on their community. So, if he could say stuff like what he done, I could say it too. You ain't ask him for proof, don't ask me for proof. And then I'm also on this podcast, and I got my own other podcast. So I'm involved in developing a black media outlet. Hey, he ain't even lied and said he got one of those, so I got a leg up. Boom, there it is.
The Prince of Podcasts have spoken.
There you go. I don't do nothing. I ain't gonna lie to you. I just sit back and talk junk. I don't do nothing. But if you really want to know about me, come to my city and ask.
Yeah.
Like, I don't do nothing. I'm gonna say it like I do. I do nothing but sit back and critique Umar. So I want people to get mad. That's what
I'm the Prince of Popping Collars.
There you go.
I am the King Kong of Krispy Kreme. I watch
Umar videos and take notes and create diss songs.
Oh, man. Yeah, y'all fans, y'all need to, take a step back, be objective, fucking think.
But, you know, all of it is stupid. All of it is.
It is.
It is.
But we got to stop trying to give people passes just because somebody has an affection or affinity for somebody like that. Like, come on, man, you got to stop that. We got to look at this as a whole, because this whole whatever it is, it's not, the damn show ain't helping us do what we do. And I just find it hilarious that a dude who was in 3 Hidden Colors is now all of a sudden concerned about the white production crew. Now he is. But he wasn't concerned when they were filming him. He wasn't concerned when he was benefiting from the movie.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
That's like a dude, like Jay said, a dude who has been financially unaccountable and irresponsible to his donors is now calling somebody else out for their financial statements, even though this dude actually produced the product, the project he set out to produce.
Yeah.
So like the whole narrative, like I said, there's so much wrong with that dude. Even the way he attacks the community, when they first off, you're mischaracterizing it as a court case because that wasn't what it was. It was an inquiry and an investigation into your activities and whether or not you're licensed to do them. It was not a judicial court case. Stop it. Stop it. And also, if you read the documents, you asked for it. So stop acting like you was blindsided by it.
They're trying to take me down.
Yeah, they gave you a choice. They gave you a choice of what you want to do, and that's what he chose to do.
Now he got
this whole thing started back in August of last year. So again, stop acting like you were blindsided by it.
Now he got pictures of him in the courtroom, laid back. I'm letting the defense talk while Papa getting ready to dissect.
I saw the video. Of him in the courtroom, but just like we said the last time we talked about this, everything that they tried to get him on was some trumped up, bogus ass, false ass, stupid ass, punk ass, crack ass, soft ass, coon ass, sellout ass charges, right? Dead serious about that. Because we objective here.
Some faulty shit.
Yeah, we objective here. We call it, we be real, but we objective. We're not trying to tear Umar down, and we're not trying to ride the junk, but we telling the truth. And it was some bull that they were trying to get him on, but at the same time, like Pat say, the truth was being stretched because Umar was making it seem like if he would have been found to have been ordained, to have been operating outside of his license, he'll have had to pay a fine of up to $250,000. Now, do we want him paying that? No. But that's what would have happened. They would have took his license.
He didn't, but that was the whole issue. Do you have a license or not? If you got one, we good. If you don't and you've been performing services outside of the scope of your license, then we not good. So it wasn't like this dude broke a law and he in criminal court getting ready to go to jail. That's why you can be in there and be all nonchalant. If you was in a criminal trial and you was walking around holding your dick, acting like it ain't no big deal, which first off you wouldn't because I read the letter you typed up and sent. So never mind that, but... I just don't like the way the whole thing was mischaracterized, and even to that, I could deal with you stretching the truth, but you're not even attacking white supremacy at this point. You're attacking the black community. Like, none of your ranting, raving, and rambling went towards white supremacy. 70-80% of the negative shit you had to say about this court case and all that was attacking black people from what I heard. That's where I developed a problem with you, and you did the same shit with the school. He did the same shit with the stripper. He did the same shit with Seti. He's doing the same shit with Tyreek. He's doing the same thing with all of these other, the RBG group that he had a beef with. He's doing the same thing with everybody. He spends more time attacking black people than he does attacking white supremacy. And that's why I say I don't think he's a coon, but he's not an asset. We need a more positive word than fuckboy to attach to Umar Johnson, because we don't want to attach fuckboy to him. But we do need a more positive word to attach to him that conveys the liability that he is for the community.
Yes, sir. Hey, man. There it is. Hey, man. It's the Freedom to Train podcast. I'm Joseph Ward. That's Pat. That's J.A. Zonic. That's his rap name. J.A. Zonic, the stripper, the exotic stripper. He come to a city near you, and he take quarters, dimes, nickels, just no pennies, and dollar bills up to 100. So go always do that, and you can donate to his J.A. Zonic stripper fund at www.slanginismeat.com. Ain't that right, Jay?
Eat a dick, Joseph.
All right, there it is. Hey, man, y'all know how I get down. It's the Freedom Train podcast, man. We the realest, we the livest, we like having fun. Y'all keep riding with us. Peace.